But listen, folks, if you're here today and you have never been saved by the grace of God, there's nothing any more important in your life than to know that you know that you know you're saved. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And there's some of you, you've not yet looked me in the eye and told me that you know that you've been born again by the Spirit of the Lord. You know that the blood of Jesus is applied to your account. You don't know that you've been justified in the sight of God and have peace. You don't have that peace. And you need that peace of God that passes all understanding. Only the Holy Ghost can reveal to you whether or not you're a child of God. And there's an urgency about this thing. It's extremely important that you be saved. We'll pray with you and pray for you, but you're going to pray the prayer for yourself. Amen. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that person shall be saved. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to get serious about repenting. You're going to have to get serious about putting your faith and your trust, and you're going to have to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to move toward God that God might move toward you. You need the work of grace in your heart and life. You can't live the Christian life without the empowering of the Holy Ghost. You need God. You need God. And when you get right with God, you can, like Job, say, though the skin worms devour this old body, yet in my flesh I'll see God. He will call and I will answer. And these eyes shall see Him and not another. Yeah. Praise God. 3 John, if you want to turn in your Bibles. I read this yesterday. I didn't really teach or preach from it. I just simply used it as a reading lesson. And I've got a text in connection with this. I'm going to go ahead and read the text to you. Before I read 3 John, these are the words of Jesus Christ. He said He was going to send us something. He was going to send us the Spirit of Truth. That's the promise that He made to His disciples and His apostles in the 14th chapter of St. John in verse 16. He said He was going to pray to the Father, that the Father would give us another comforter, the Paracletos, one called along beside of us to assist us and help us. We had a men's conference and our theme was preserving the truth. And the thing that really preserves the truth is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Truth. And the word comforter, it's used 5 or 6 times. The Greek word is used 5 or 6 times. Paracletos, one called alongside of. And it's used in John, in 1 John chapter 2, and it refers to Jesus as an advocate, a lawyer, one to come to our defense, to help us, to assist us. And certainly the Holy Spirit of God is the thing that preserves us. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 about verse 15 that He said, you heard the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. He said, after you heard the word of truth, you believed and you were sealed and preserved with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit that is in us is what keeps us saved. Amen. You would have lost your salvation a long time ago if you were the one that was keeping it. And so the Holy Spirit preserves the truth. And He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. And He'll be with you forever. One of the things that was pointed out in the men's conference is that truth is from everlasting to everlasting. It's as immutable as God Himself. And God's Word is true. I'll prove that to you, that the truth is from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will never pass away. It's forever. And not only is it forever, but the Spirit of God is forever. Because it is a Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of God preserves the truth. It empowers the truth. We need the Spirit of God as a church in order to preach the truth. In order for us to proclaim the truth of God's holy word, we need the aid, we need the help, we need the advocacy of the Holy Ghost. So I'll give you another comforter. See, Jesus assisted the church while he was here in the flesh. But he would go away and he promised that upon his departure, he would pray to the Father. He would ascend to the throne and then he would send us the Holy Ghost. Now I believe the Holy Ghost is with his church and with his people. Yes, I do. I'm thankful for the presence of the Spirit of God. And one of the things that I strive to do in preaching is try to get close enough to God where that when I preach that the Holy Ghost will get in that area of your soul and minister to you in a way that only He can. Now it's hard to get to that place as a church and as a people and as a minister. It's not easy. This thing is, I'm not up here just trying to intrigue your intellect. I want to see your soul moved by the power of God. And actually, that is the prosperity of our soul, as we'll read in 3 John. So he said in verse 17 of St. John chapter 14, he says, I'll send you the Paracletus, the Comforter. And he says, when it comes, it'll be a Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. It is the Spirit of the truth. Now he points out something that the world will never be able to receive this Spirit of truth. It won't. The only way the world will ever receive the truth of God is for them to be born from above. Amen. They have to be born of the Spirit. Amen. In order to embrace, enjoy, and love the truth of God. Now I know we've got a lot of churches and a lot of teachers and books down at Lifeway, and we go down there and read those things, and they're trying to make people embrace and enjoy the truth of God apart from the new birth, and it will not work. In order for the world to ever embrace the truth of any of God's truths, it has to be diluted. It has to be changed. It has to be altered. It must be cloudy, ambiguous. And when it's cloudy and ambiguous, then the world will receive it. But listen, in order for the church to receive the truth of God, we need the presence of the Holy Ghost. Now, sometimes we don't like it. We need the helper, the comforter, the Paracletus, the advocator. We need the lawyer to stand at our side and help us in the presentation of the truth. The world, he says, will never embrace it, never receive it. He goes on in verse 17 and he tells us they won't even have the capacity to know it, to understand the Spirit of truth. They won't be able to know Him. See, that's why it's so important for the church to continue to preach the message of repentance. We have to turn from sin in order to have the light of the glorious gospel to shine in our hearts. Where the love of God shines in our hearts. The Spirit of God comes in. We need that in order for people to love the truth. I just couldn't stop thinking about how important the truth is to us and how much we should love it and appreciate it. I want to say this. I appreciate those that have gone before us that have stood for the truth. Even when it cost them their own lives, they would never forsake their Savior, who is the way and the truth. They would not forsake the truth of God's holy word that has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. Every word of this Bible has come from the Holy Ghost. Every word of it is true. Amen. Now, I know that's not typical for Christians to hear. They're hearing that only parts of the Word are right. Or the Word of God is under attack and they're trying to take parts of it out. I don't believe that.
I believe all of it needs to be applied to us. All of it needs to be preached. We need to hear the whole counsel of God. For all of it is true. And all of it is important. And every word of it came of the Holy Ghost. Men were moved upon by holy men. Holy men were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And they wrote these words down. Holy Ghost so superintended the writing of God's holy word. Every noun, every verb, every adjective, every single letter, every jot, every tittle of the word of God is true. Amen? Now, I always have trouble fellowshipping folks that don't believe that. I really do. People that are trying to reject God's word, or they're trying to explain it away, I really don't worry so much about what I don't understand of the word of God. I worry about what I do understand. One of the main principles that was advocated during the men's conference is that truth is given in proportion to the amount of truth you're willing to live. If you're not willing to do all the truth of God, if you're not willing to walk in truth and live the truth, then you'll move away from truth. But if you will submit your life to the truth of God, then you'll receive more and more of God's truth into your life. And that's been one of our problems as churches. As we move away from doing, we think we're smarter than God suddenly, and we think that we can build our church based upon our opinions and our ideas. We think we're smarter than Jesus, who set up the church. This is His church. He deserves the preeminence. He is the rock. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, in Matthew chapter 16. And the church is still the church, the true church, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's still the Lord's church today. He's the founder. He's the head. He's the leader. He guides His church. He helps His church. He walks among His people like He walked among the seven churches of Asia, as He walked among the golden candlesticks. He is the light in the church. He is the way of the church. He's the power of the church. We need Jesus in our churches. But instead, like one of those churches, He stood on the outside and knocked on the door and said, "Let me in." They put Him on the outside of His own church. God forbid that we ever do that. I hadn't gotten to my reading lesson. We learned one important thing this weekend, and that is truth is everything. Appreciate the foundation. Man, the truth is everything. It's always been everything. And it'll always be everything. Nobody ever gets saved without the truth. I'm talking about the truth about God. Not these made up gods. The truth about Jesus. Not the false truths, if there is such a thing, or the error that's being said about Jesus. You've got to have a right understanding of who Jesus is in order to understand the truth that saves. Amen. He wasn't just a good teacher. He was the only, and He is the only begotten Son of God, who was, who is, and is forevermore. Amen. We need that kind of truth for people to get saved. Amen. We need the truth about the church to be proclaimed. That you're not born into the church by a natural birth, and you're not even born into the church by a spiritual birth. You're baptized into the church. Amen. You're born again into the family of God. But you have to be baptized to be a member of the Lord's church. You've got to follow the Lord in baptism. All of these truths are important. but especially the truth about salvation. I believe the truth about repentance. I mean, we have a murky, watered down kind of repentance out there. People are just turning around the road, deciding to live a little better life. That's not repentance. Repentance comes as a work of the Holy Spirit causing you to see your sinfulness before a holy God. Where the burden of sin is so great, you can't bear it any longer. And it brings you to a point to where you're willing to turn and forsake sin. When you turn from sin, there's only one other place to go, and that's Jesus. The one who paid the sin debt for us. The one who is a substitutionary atonement for us. You have to put faith in Jesus Christ. It's not walking an aisle. It's not signing a card. It's not joining the church. It's repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. And when you turn from sin and you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. We preach Jesus and Him crucified according to the Scriptures, resurrected on the third day, ascended to glory and coming back for His own. Amen. You've got to put faith. Now, faith is not something of the mind. You can miss heaven by 18 inches. Only have repentance of the head. And faith of the heart, faith of the mind. The Bible says you must believe with all of your heart. Amen. Amen? It has to come from the depths of your soul, turning from sin and trusting in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you will experience something from above that comes from God that lets you know that you've just passed from death and alive. And you'll know something about the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? You'll know something about the Comforter. You'll know something about the one called along beside of you. Yeah. Helping you. You'll know something about that when you get saved. Sure will. I don't even know. I may not even read the third John, rather. There's only one chapter in third John. The Holy Spirit is an internal revealer of the truth. Amen. I will at least read a few verses, maybe, of John, of third John. It's very clear. He talks about, as he begins this letter, the elder who. Unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. He loved this man in the truth. There was a connection between him and the Apostle John because of the truth that had been revealed to them by the Holy Ghost. And it connected them. Amen. See, that's one of the reasons it's so important that you tell us a testimony of salvation before you join the church. The church is made up of lively stones that have had the truth revealed to them by the Holy Ghost. And it is the truth that unites us. Brother Perrigo used to say, if a church ever divides over something other than a fallout on the truth, they are dividing over the wrong reasons. Only doctrine should divide us, because we are united in truth. Amen. It unites us. And so John had this unity and this connection. There was a unity that was formed by the Holy Ghost. Because it is the Holy Ghost that reveals truth. Now let me read a couple of other verses in here. I'm only going to read four verses. I was going to read all of it. There's a lot in here. How the truth unites us. How the truth defines us. Gaius, and not only Gaius, but also as you read down in verse 12, Demetrius, he was defined by the truth. The truth defines us. It defines whether we're the children of God or the children of the devil. Why? Because the devil was a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. And if you're believing a lie, you're of the devil. But when you entrust your life to the way and the truth and the life, Jesus Christ, it changes your attitude toward the truth. And suddenly you're a believer and an embracer. And you are an advocate because the Holy Spirit is beside of you, helping you advocate the truth. And that truth that you advocate, it defines you as a child of God. Only the children of God love the truth. The world doesn't receive it. So it defines who we are. There's a lot of stuff in here that I've written down. Forms our unity, fosters our blessing, fills our soul, frames our fellowship. Notice in, I think it's in verse 8 where it talks about how that our fellowship, how that we ought to receive such and we might be fellow helpers of the truth. We're in fellowship of the truth. This fellowship, I can't walk with somebody that's not walking in truth. Just can't. I mean, I can't fellowship somebody who's advocating something that's not true. Can you? I can't. Because it is the truth that has united us. It is the truth that has brought us in fellowship with one another. It is truth that brought us into the family of God. It's truth that's put us in the church. And it's truth that'll take us to heaven. It's all about the truth. Forming our unities. Fostering the blessing. Let me move up to verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. See, the truth is what fills our soul. Now, I know the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel teachers use this verse, but he was talking about, I hope you're as blessed as your soul is blessed. The truth blesses our soul. It fills us. Fills us. Why? Because it is the Spirit of truth. Have you ever been filled with the Spirit? I'm going to have to get a drink. Hold on. Antihistamine's kicking in again. Have you ever been filled with the Spirit? Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And my friend, if you are filled with the Spirit, you'll be filled with the truth. Because it is the Spirit of truth. Amen. Got it? Truth blesses our soul. Now, before he gets done, the next verse he talks about, and this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, as a parent and as a grandparent, both my granddaughters are here today. Praise God, I put one of them to sleep preaching. That's making Tiffany very happy. But this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because I can so relate to it. But it's not just my natural children, it's also my spiritual children. He says, I have no greater joy than this, than my children walking in the truth. People, that's living the truth, okay? That's allowing the truth to frame our behavior. Not only to fill us, but to control what we do, how we live. Our worldview goes through the biblical truths of God and the spiritual truths of God. We form a worldview based upon the Spirit of truth. And we live out that worldview before a lost and dying world. Before a world that 'll never see our worldview unless they get saved. Well, I'm about done. There was a man in this 3 John, Diotrephes, and he loved the preeminence. You can read that in verse 9. He was a troublemaker at church. He wanted to be head of the church, a church member, wanting to take the preeminence at church. I tell you, John said, when I get down there, I'm going to take care of that guy. I'm going to take him out behind the barn. We're going to have a good talking to. You know why he was in trouble? Because the truth is only Jesus deserves the preeminence in his church. The preacher doesn't. The deacon doesn't. The Sunday school teachers don't. None of us do. He alone deserves the preeminence. And when we start doing something like that, that's in violation of a clear, concisive truth of God's holy word, it needs to be dealt with. And John said, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to deal with it. He's a problem. He's even, you know, trying to take people out of the church because he's not getting his way. 3 John, read it for yourself. His name is listed in the Bible. Listen, there's only one thing that ought to take you out of church, and that's the Holy Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Amen? There's only one thing that ought to let you go to another church, and that's the Holy Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Folks, you start following men, you're going to get in trouble. But if you'll follow the Lord and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says those that are the children of the Lord, they're what? They are led of the Lord. That's the truth. The truth, the Spirit of truth will not lead you astray. But will lead you constantly unto all truth. The church needs the aid of the Holy Spirit to help us stay preaching and teaching the truth, and also preserving that truth among us and helping us advocate that truth to a lost and dying world. It teaches us more and more truth of God's holy word. It's a whole lot better teacher than I'll ever be or any of you'll ever be. It's the Holy Spirit that has always instructed the church in truth.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost still instructs the church in truth. Now I know you can go someplace and you can be really stimulated intellectually about the Word of God and the ways of God. But I hope that you'll be stimulated in your soul where the Holy Spirit lives. He's in us. He not only unites us, but there's another passage in here and I didn't get to it. But He's in us. The truth is in us. The Spirit of truth is in us. Listen, children, this is very important. Once you get saved, you need to let the Holy Spirit direct you. Even when you're young. Amen? Help you choose your vocation. Help you choose your mate. Help you choose your way of life. Help you frame the right kind of framework in your home and in your life. You need the help of God and you need to listen to the Lord. His church hears His voice. The Spirit of truth speaks to us. Spoke to the 7 churches of Asia on several occasions. And at the end of each one of those letters, He said, He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. The Spirit of truth will never lead us astray. Let's just keep listening to the Lord. That's my message. God bless you. Man, I love the truth. I have some friends in the truth. There's a bond. I don't know how to explain that. I don't have anything in common with some of these folks. Really. I mean, we come from different backgrounds. We have different interests. But I see them and my heart just kind of, you know, gets stirred. Like Paul got stirred when he saw folks from different churches. And my heart would get stirred when I got into their presence. You know why? Because they were a fellow laborer in the truth. They love the truth. And I sense a spiritual connection to them because of the truth. This may be your first time to be here at Victory Church. There's no greater welcome than what comes by the Holy Ghost that allows you to see that, hey, I've got some truth in me and I connect with the truth that they're preaching there.
Amen.
I connect with the truth they're standing on and standing for. And we hope you're drawn back by that, by the truth. We want you to be united with us in the truth. If you believe something contrary to us, we don't want you to be a member. I know that's strange in this community, but that's just the truth. Right? I mean, that's just the truth. This fickle Christianity where that there's this great ambiguity concerning, you know, what truth is and what truth isn't. And, you know, oh, you've got truth and I've got truth. We've all got trophies. We're all winners. No. There is a Spirit of truth
and there's a spirit of error. And it's either one or the other, and only one's a winner. Only one gets the trophy, right? We don't believe in this, everybody believing whatever they want to believe, and it's okay to be part of the church. No. No. There are some core principle teachings of God's holy word that all of us must be united in. The gospel truth is important. You don't get saved and get to heaven many different ways. There's only one way of salvation, only one way to heaven. And Jesus is the truth and the way to that life everlasting. Brother Dale, get a song. I appreciate you listening to me. I love the truth. I thought I was going to preach on something else, and I'd studied something last night and this morning, and then I'm like, you know what? The whole weekend has just consumed me. I mean, it's just consumed me. And being among these brethren, we had people coming from Indiana and West Tennessee and Kentucky, and my Uncle Dean came from Indianapolis, and man, he's been standing for the truth for a long, long time. Good man of God. Just a deacon, and just a deacon. Deacons are important too. But he's a deacon up in Indianapolis. He sat down, and the thing I thought of when he sat down is at my ordination. And I went back to him standing there and giving me my sword to go out and fight and defend the truth. And I remember him making the statement that I hope at the end of your life you can say, like the Apostle Paul, you have fought the good fight of faith. People, let's be of good courage. Stand up for what's right and what is true. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a song. If you're here today and you need to be saved, this altar's open. If you ever have any questions or concerns, call me anytime. My door is always open. Just come knock on my door. We'll sit down at the table. People have been saved at my kitchen table. Hey, come. We'll get down on the floor in the kitchen. We'll pray. God's everywhere. He can save you anywhere. Call me. Call me in the middle of the night. Call me at 6 a.m. I'll answer. I'll come. Come here, come there, wherever. Listen, folks. You need to get right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, the only thing that can cover your sins. May you receive a believing application of the blood of Jesus before God calls you home. Let's sing.